You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Monday. Thanks for joining us here today on this Monday. Whether or not you've tuned in to WWBC at 6:30 in the morning or 5:30 in the afternoon, or WMIE at 7:30 a.m., same time in the afternoon, 5:30 p.m., God bless you all. We're tuning in to WGOD now. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you, and it's going to come today as it does every day when we get into the Word of God. He's always broadcasting. All we need to do is tune our dials into His frequency. And His frequency, you got to forgive me for these radio terms, having been the manager for 20 years of these radio stations and having traveled and being 62 years old, I'm old enough to remember having a radio that had dials in it and being somewhere in the middle of nowhere, having to tune a dial on a radio through all the static in life, trying to find a voice somewhere. And so it is with the Word of God. With all of the static out here, you can tune in your dials, and finally, you can tune in, and you can actually tune in to the voice and the Word of God where He speaks, and that is His Word. Remember, His Word, the Lord Jesus said in John 6:63, "My words are spirit, and they are life." The Lord Jesus also said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So let's pray. Lord God, through all of the static around us here in life today, we tune into Your frequency. Lord, we listen for Your voice here today as the preacher preaches Your word. We tune in to You. Speak to us. We listen for Your voice. Help us not to think, not to be proud to think that none of this applies to me, that I'm not lukewarm in any way, but show me my true spiritual condition, and may the power to change be present. Help me to make it right. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is WGOD. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, along with Darren Solana, my associate pastor. We are the spiritual leaders here of Island Community Church, located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. You'll hear my sermon from this past Sunday, which was "Beware of the Dogs" out of Philippians chapter 3. Wednesday nights, my associate pastor's heading that up right now. He's in the book of Colossians. He'll be in chapter 2 this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Here now on the radio, we're going through the book of Revelation. And as I've said, let's tune out the static, and let's tune in to the Spirit of the living God. We're going to listen to this letter. Let me read it, this whole letter here, this 8 verses. "To the letter the Lord Jesus dictated to the Apostle John, to bring to the spiritual leader, the angelos." Some translations unfortunately use the word angel. It's more of the messenger, the preacher. It's what this word can mean. Angelos, messenger. That's what it does mean, not what it could mean. Messenger. Now, he's writing to the, let's call him the pastor, okay, or the bishop. He's writing to the pastor, but understand as we go through this that the pastor is responsible for the spiritual condition of Jesus' lambs that he is placed under the leadership of the pastor, of the preacher, of the spiritual leader. That's the word shepherd. The Lord Jesus commanded him, as he said to Peter, feed my lambs. That's what a pastor is. He's a shepherd. He has a crook, and that is to protect those whom God has given to him and whom God has placed over to watch out over them, to feed them, to teach them the word of God, to help them live a holy and righteous life, and to know God better. Remember, that's what the Apostle Paul said. He strived that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Certainly, if he strove for that, you and I can as well. So, it's the same thing today. The pastor of the church is responsible for the spiritual condition of those that the Lord has placed under him. And he's going to be held accountable for that. That's why James said, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. More is required of the pastor and the teacher of the word of God. Naturally, he's going to hold them accountable for what they do, for what they teach, for their conduct, for how they lead. So he's writing to the pastor, and the pastor is responsible for what he is going to show him, for what's going on in his church. The pastor is responsible for the spiritual condition and what's going on in this church. He is the one he's going to hold accountable and responsible. Now, with that in mind, let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. We're going to wrap this up today. Now, to the messenger of the church in Laodicea, right? These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Therefore, since you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Some translations say vomit. Because you say, I am wealthy, and I've become rich, and I've need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold having been tried by fire, so that you may become rich, and white robes, so that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not appear, and eye salve, so that you may anoint your eyes in order that you may see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So catch, he shows you how to get out of this condition. Yeah, the pastor is responsible for it, but if he's talking to you today on this Monday, he is showing you how to fix this problem of lukewarmness. If you have an old Thompson Chain Reference Bible, you'll see in there their little definition of this, or word association for lukewarmness, was half-heartedness. Half-hearted. Putting your hands into kingdom work, but not your heart. Half-heartedness. Let me continue reading. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come into him, and I will dine with him, and he with me. He that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So there's the Lord Jesus Christ's letter to the pastor, the spiritual leader of this church. First, he starts off with some descriptions of himself. I'm sorry if you guys have followed along. I know I'm backtracking, but it's Monday. I mean, what's the problem if we practice this play over and over again? I mean, this is what we are. I'd like to tell my church family that we're in the PCL here at Island Community Church. The PCL stands for the Professional Christian League. We're not going to make apologies, that we know the Word of God, and that's our aim, that not to be ignorant of the Word of God. So heaven forbid, you know, a songwriter or a baseball or a football player practices the same play over and over again. As a musician, I'm already working on my Christmas music here at the church so that when Christmas comes, I'll be able to play everything I'm going to play without having any sheet music, because I'm going to practice. I practice this play over and over again. So I'll make no apologies for preaching today what I preach Thursday and Friday, in addition to wrapping this up. Heaven forbid we look again and see that Jesus Christ is the Amen. Lest we forget, I won't apologize that once again we're going to see Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He's the true witness. We're not going to apologize that knowing what the word beginning of the creation of God means, so that we'll really be loaded for bear when the wacko knocks on your door and tries to tell you that Jesus Christ is not God, or that he is really Michael the angel in disguise, and they're going to point to this verse, and 8.5 out of 10 people aren't going to know the word of God, and they're going to be ignorant, and they don't know that the word RK for beginning means more than beginning. It means ruler of as well, pioneer, trailblazer, same as we read in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the archagon of our faith. He is the ruler. He is the head. He's the head of the church, which is the body of Christ. So know and understand the word of God. We're not going to make apologies for going through this again. He's the beginning of the creation of God. It doesn't mean he's a created being. It means he rules over all creation. Also, remember, or maybe you didn't hear me say it on Monday, what this church is known for. Now, they're known for these three things: a banking center, iSav manufacturing, and clothing, as we go through this. Next up, he says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish, or I could wish, that you were cold or hot. You know, it's just like lukewarm coffee. I hate lukewarm coffee. At least, I mean, make it one way or the other. That's what he's saying. If it's cold, then put some ice in it, like you go to up the Dunkin' Donuts here and get iced coffee. That's so stylish today. Make it cold, or you can go through the McDonald's drive-thru and don't spill that. I burn my tongue all the time on that coffee because it's on fire. And that's what he wants us to be. When we read in Romans chapter 13, right? He says, be fervent in spirit. That means on fire, zestos. If you got into a shower in Greek, instead of an H and a C for hot and cold, you'd see a Z there for zestos. That's what we need to be, on fire for God. How are you doing with that today? Are you on fire for God today? Do you love the Lord as much as you did when you first were saved? Are you serving him as much, if not more? How grateful are you for all that the Lord has done in your life? You know, I think of this parable. It was not a parable at all. 10 lepers that Jesus healed. He healed all 10. And after he healed all 10, one person came back and gave glory to God. And Jesus turned around and looked around and he said, well, where are the other 9? Were there not 10 people who were cleansed? Has only one returned to give glory to God? You and I are right there with these lepers. How about you? Have you returned to give glory to God? Think of where you are now and where you were back on your worst day Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's my prayer you'd be grateful for that today, and you would use the remaining days that you have left here on earth to serve him and be like this leper and return and give glory to God. Like David wrote, I think it's Psalm 34, verse 3, he says, come, let us magnify the Lord together. When we magnify the Lord, we make him bigger than our problem. Next up in this letter, we looked at what makes a person half-hearted. The answer, the first thing was worldliness. That's 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What do you love more? Remember, the Lord Jesus said, those who love their life will lose it. Those who hate their life will keep it unto eternal life. This, friend, is why God makes your life difficult today, so that you will trust in him through the face when you're going through adversity, so that you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you in due time. So what makes a person half-heartedness? Worldliness. Also, we read James chapter 4, verse 4, that whoever makes himself a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Not an enviable position, right, friends? Who wants to be the enemy of God? That's being a friend of the world. And this is the problem that happened here in this church. They were lukewarm. This is what I was saying in here Thursday and Friday on this program. The lukewarm church. It's happened to the church. He's going to hold the pastor accountable for it. The problem in the lukewarm church is that the pastor and the people there, they've let the outside world influence the inside of the church instead of the inside of the church influencing its community, like the name of our church here, Island Community Church. I don't mean to blow our own horn, but I will. We're a small church, 50, 60, 70, 80 people. We try to do what we can with the resources that God's given us. We have a food pantry that's open a couple times a month. We provide Christmas gifts for children from our local elementary school that don't have anything and wouldn't have anything for Christmas. We try to do what we can here. We have fellowships here that's open to the community. Friday nights, occasionally, we try to influence our community with the love of God and the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Remember the end of Book of Revelation, he says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him. So let's have our churches influence the community instead of the community influencing us. And look around. I'd have to ask you, is your church influenced by the community? The music, the atmosphere, the pastor, what the pastor says, what he preaches. Does he talk about sin? Does he allow the Holy Spirit to move in the congregation by talking about sin and exposing? Just like Paul said, examine yourselves. Is that going on in your church? Is the Holy Spirit given an opportunity to transform lives? I ask you those questions. So what makes a person half-heartedness? Worldliness. The second thing, riches. Proverbs 30, it says, two things I request of you, capital Y, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Worldly Christian. Oxymoron, isn't it? A worldly Christian? How can you be a Christian and be someone that the Bible calls the enemy of God? How can you be a worldly Christian? 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or proud, nor to trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God. Okay, Revelation 3:15, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, and I need nothing. And you do not know, you see, they're deceived. This pastor, the spiritual leader, he thought that his church was okay because they were doing well financially. Because you say, this is Lord Jesus speaking, Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich, and I've become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you were wretched, miserable, and now catch these three words, poor, blind, and naked. Remember what the city was known for, banking center, eye salve, and clothing. You see, they think that they're rich, but Jesus says, you're poor. So much for the banking center. He says, you're blind. Well, so much for the eye salve. And naked. Well, just like the emperor's new clothes, right? So much for you being a clothing center. You think you got all this good stuff going on. Oh, you got a local Brooks Brothers there in Laodicea. You think that you're okay. Jesus flips the script and says, no, you're not, friend. You're naked is where you really are. You're naked, which in that day was the ultimate shame to be naked. All right, verse 18, his solution. Let's get to the heart of the matter. What is the solution for me if I am lukewarm? Be it you're the pastor of this church or the pastor has influenced you to be this way, you don't ever hear sin anymore in church, or you've let the world infect you. This is why the warnings of the world, it's not because God's a killjoy and he's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to prevent you from getting infected, is why he says this. Because this world is like leeches, and they'll suck the blood out of you and drain you of your life. Verse 18, here's the solution. I counsel you. You know, we go and we see attorneys. We get counsel from people, maybe counsel from a pastor, counsel from a counselor. Well, here is the counselor, the mighty counselor. Here is his advice with how to change your stain, how to get out of this quagmire that you're in of being half-hearted or lukewarm. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may be clothed, so that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Remember I told you that's just shameful in the Bible. To be found naked. There's nothing really more shameful. Ask Noah's sons how that worked out for them, or at least for one of them. So that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. Now, instead of getting these things from the downtown cutthroat drugstore, he says, I counsel you, get these things from me. Buy some gold from me, and then you'll really be rich. He's handing out clothes, too. Matter of fact, you better be wearing his clothes at the end of the age. He's going to be taking inventory. I think that's Matthew chapter 22, when he looks around and he finds someone in there that didn't buy the clothes that he was handing out, and he says, get that person out of here and cast them into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Man, oh, man, you got to be wearing the clothes he's handed. I counsel you, buy some clothes from me. Then when we look around, we're going to see that you received the Lord Jesus Christ. You got his clothing. I counsel you, buy from me gold. Then you'll really be rich. Clothes, white clothes, matter of fact, so that you may be clothed. And then the shame of you being naked won't happen anymore. And anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can really see. So notice, the Lord Jesus turned their strengths into weaknesses. And then offers them the things that they truly need. Gold refined in the fire. That is true spiritual riches, which then you are going to lay up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can corrupt. And then the true garments the Lord offers are those that are washed in the blood. And to truly see is to have spiritual eyes to see. Because if you can't see, then you won't know where you're going. Neither can you spot a demon in sheep's clothing. If you can't see, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke. Is that you this morning or this afternoon? Are you feeling rebuked today by the Lord? Are you lukewarm in your service to him? Are you just going through the motions? You know, we're going to have to wrap it up here for today. When we get into chapter 4 in our next program, that'll be toward the end of the week, we will pick it up again right here at these last few, because I don't want to skip over this. The Lord gives explicit instructions on what to do if you find yourself here, but I don't want to leave you hanging. We'll get into it more in detail the next time we're in the book of Revelation. But he says two simple things, friends, which I want you to take with you here on this Monday. Be zealous. That is, remember, zeleo, that's hot. That's instead of H in your shower, it's a Z. It's be on fire for God and repent. Repent and make it right. God, forgive me for being lukewarm. I confess this to you. You promise. I pray your word back to you, Lord. If I confess my sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, may your cleansing fire demolish and obliterate my sins. And as you promised, remember them no more. We're out of time. We'll be back again. We'll be back again Tuesday and Wednesday with the Sunday sermon. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll pick it up right here in the book of Revelation. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Mark's Towing Incorporated in Ocala knows that when you make critical hiring decisions, you want precision performance and commitment to your company's mission. That's why Mark's Towing Incorporated is encouraging all area businesses to make this year the year you hire smart and hire vets. Add a veterans-focused decision-making skills and Uncle Sam-approved training to your company's ranks. That patriotic reminder is courtesy of Mark's Towing Incorporated in Ocala, where they are on the air reminding everyone, we live in the land of the free because of our brave.